buttery mid-roll.
Hot, but I love the hot buttery anything, and I like it as like a adjectives, like, you know, like for anything.
Some hot buttery bumper stickers.
Virgins.
Oh my god. That actually
bringing back our live escapades.
Yeah. If you haven't joined us on our lives, every time we have new people, we you guys, for that very first time, you get to be a hot fresh virgin.
We'll have a hot fresh virgin.
So if you're interested in being a hot fresh a hot buttery virgin,
hop on over,
check us out, hop on over patreon.com/thewitchbitchamateurhour. Oh my goodness,
dude, I gotta tell you something. I've been meaning
tell
to tell you
all
about it.
Of the things,
it's stupid, but I just need to share my pain with you.
Please.
So the other day, we had to go to Tyler because I had to get my ring. You know, you have to get like fucking rings looked at every 6 months or whatever. They'll just cancel your warranty. So we had to go and like take my rings in, and then Hunter had to get a new pair of steel toe work boots for work. And so we went to Cavender's because he like had to try them on because they're boots. So we went to Cavender's, and when I was waiting, I saw one of the girls working there walk by in the coolest jeans, like the coolest jeans. I loved them. And they were super, super retro. Like they were super tight to the knee and then flared out in these redonkulous bells. It was so good. I loved these goddamn jeans. Oh, they were so good. And like, I haven't been in a fitting room in well over a year, but it was like, they took me so hard. I was like, I've got to try those on right now because they sold them there because she worked there. And so like,
Okay.
I went and got, cause I saw her, and then I saw like, there were like a whole bunch of girls working there, and like half of them had these jeans on. And so I was like, they sell these here. Okay. All right. I got to find these jeans. So I start digging around and I find these jeans, and they're great. And so I go to the fitting room. And I go to put on these jeans, and then I immediately run into a severe issue that these jeans are at least 9 inches too long, maybe more. Honestly, they're so long to where they fold under my foot and extend past my toes a good 3 inches.
Yeah.
So seriously, and I don't know who they're made for, or if I really am just, I have no legs. And so I like look in the mirror and I'm like, mother of God. So I like walk out because the big mirror was outside, and there are these two like older women sitting there, and they're very like done up and very kind of proper looking. And like, I was in a crop top and jeans at this point because I was wearing a high waist skirt and it was like a bit more modest, you know. But I was in a crop top and these jeans. And so I'm looking in the mirror, you know, and they're kind of like side eyeing me and kind of looking forward and looking back. And it went on long enough to where I just felt like I needed to say something. And I looked at them and I was just like, these jeans are really long. And like, and one of them looked at me for a second and was like, yeah, you look like a mermaid. And that was it. But I've not stopped thinking about that.
Firstly, Macy, I love that you just had a panic, like you just vomited panic words at them.
Well, here's the thing. It wasn't even that. The jeans were so long, it was comedic. And I was I had to address it, because if I didn't address it and they just thought that I was okay with what was happening, that would be ridiculous. Like, it was so ridiculous. And so I just felt the need to point out, like, in case y'all don't know, I know that these are too long, just so you know.
Yeah. Just in case you guys think that I'm not aware. Oh my God. And I know the two women that you're talking about. I just know them. I know what they look like. I know what they sound like. I know everything about them. And I know that they're just sitting there quietly exchanging without speaking, as old Southern women can do. It is fact. Talking about how long your pants were.
And I know that's, and they were, so, and she was so flat about it. Yeah, you look like a mermaid. And that was it. And it was just like, okay, thanks. And I shuffled back in and
you should have just looked at her. You shuffled back in. You should have said you look like a mermaid. In. You should have just like, you should have put your hand over your heart and just been like, oh, thank you.
That's exactly what I was going for.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and you know what sucks about the whole the whole situation? They fit great.
That you didn't get the cool jeans? Oh, they fit over your butt and everything.
They, I mean, and I actually kind of realized, I was like, do I need to wear like cowgirl jeans? Like, are they cut for
Maybe.
Me? Because like they fit mean, my legs. I was able, like, because that's the thing. A lot of jeans from like designer stores will not fit over my thighs. Like, it's to the point to where it's comical. Yeah. And these like fit perfect. And I was like, holy shit, I have to get jeans at Cavender's.
It's not uncommon to see a lot of country girls got that wagon. So it makes sense.
Yeah. So I had an epiphany and an experience in one in one go.
For me, I have to see that little S next to my size when I'm getting jeans or pants.
Me too. That's why American Eagle does it. They're so fucking considerate with making short jeans or petite, like sometimes like P.
Yeah, can
rock those.
Yeah, it's your size and then S or P, and if there's that S or that P, I'm good to go. But if it's L or no, it's not gonna happen.
Well,
we got the short legs.
Because, like, not only do we have the short legs, which are seriously short.
Yes.
I'm 5'2". So, like,
a long torso.
Yeah. And so it's like, I'm 5'2". I have a long torso at that height. And I'm only 5'2". So short legs in this family are even shorter when you're 5'. So I, like, put these jeans on and I was like, this can't be normal. Like,
this isn't right. I forget that you're 5'2 sometimes, and hearing you say that out loud, it shakes me sometimes.
I forget all the time until like I look at Hunter and me together in like a mirror or something like that. I'm just like, oh,
well, Hunter's tall, period. How tall is Hunter? He's like 6 foot.
He's
something,
six,
right? He's
two.
Like 6'1". Jesus.
Yeah, he's tall.
Either way. Oh, that was a high-pitched squeak. Jeez. Wow. I feel like this means you're just gonna have to make your own. Own.
I was really thinking about that. I was like, man, how much of a bitch is it to like make jeans?
Like a cool, like a really good pair of fitting jeans with that like soft denim.
Yeah, that really good, buttery. It's a buttery denim.
Yeah. Buttery. And we're back in. Full circle.
We're back in. There we go. That's all we needed.
So what are we going to talk about today?
I was inspired by a thread that was going on in the Coven where several people suggested kind of different kinds of topics and things like that on there. And I don't know if this was actually a topic that was suggested, but somebody suggested just everyday kitchen herbs and shit like that, like normal shit. And so got me thinking. And so I'm talking today about garlic.
Oh, nice. Very nice. I love garlic. I love garlic in a health way. Before witch stuff, I was big into eating garlic all the fucking time just because of all the ways that it helps you in a physical way. Are there magical properties?
There are. Here's the thing.
I mean, besides
because the physical properties are so known, I didn't even really touch on those much. It's almost all lore. I have so much A fucking lore to talk about because garlic has been around pretty much, forever. It's tied with humanity for so long. So there's a lot of great lore, a great amount of lore about witches, which is a good time. But there's serious uses for it in magic. And I'm excited about that because it's an excellent incognito material to use. So I was very excited taking these notes down. What are you talking about?
And also in a physical way, you asked me what I'm talking about and I just blew past it. in a physical way, I like how you say you kind of skipped over a lot of the mundane stuff. Cause I feel like garlic is one of those that it's like, you got a problem, put garlic on it. End of story. It's good for your heart. It's good for your blood. It just everything about it is good. So like to go down the list of things garlic is good for would take way too long. I am going to talk to you about jade, the stone, ooh, not the plant.
I'm amazed we have never talked about jade.
Yeah, I know. It was because I've got a running list of things that I'd like to talk about, and it's starting to get to some more obscure stones, ones that you don't really see that often. And then right smack dab in the middle of it, I just saw jade, and I was like, how in the fuck? So I had to triple check that we didn't that we didn't do that. But I was also inspired by a post over on Facebook today, actually pretty much right before we sat down to record. And I reached out to Michael, the author of this, and said, hey, can I talk about this? Can we make this a point of discussion? And Michael Vaughn, I don't know if I want to go full name or if that's even okay, but they were like, yeah, that's cool, say my name, over on Facebook, posted this. And I think a lot of people can relate. So I'm just gonna read it for you, Mace. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Michael says, hey, folks, I've been wanting desperately to practice recently. My interest hasn't waned necessarily, but I just know that I don't have the personal energy in my being right now to be casting circles, using wards or protections, etc. Any suggestions or small spells / rituals / practices that can help you build up your energy little by little? I didn't get drained overnight, so I know I won't be replenished overnight. And I read this and I saw people responding, and a lot of the comments to this was like, oh my god, me too, or I don't really have any way to help, but this I'm following because I also feel this way. And I just thought it would be kind of, I just thought we could kind of touch on this because you and I both know what it's like to feel like this.
Yeah, oh for sure. I wouldn't say I'm in that exact like depth of a rut at the moment. I'm paused because like it's like I know that I'm about to have a full day. I have the complete, blessing bestowed that like you and I can do this podcast full time very soon. Like I'm in my last week of work right now. And so it's like, I know that that's coming. And so it's like right now I'm just trying to tie up all my loose ends. And so it's like, I've almost put all of that on pause because it's like, I know I'm going to spiritually explode soon, but right now it's just got to stay down just a little longer.
Yeah. Yeah, you're kind of you're rooted within the everyday kind of real world right now. I think.
Yeah,
and you're just,
yeah.
Just like get through this, and then I can ascend.
Yeah, exactly. But I have been in that rut before, to where you know, and we've talked about it before, where you wonder if it's even ever going to come back. Sometimes it goes on long, like a long time, months and months and months.
Yeah,
you know, and it does. But I'm kind of in the way that I get myself back, because I don't like to force magic ever. I don't. If I'm not in the mood to do it, especially like spell work, you know, I'm not doing that, you know, but I'll try to keep the flicker alive, you know, by like self-care magic. Mm-hmm. And that I do have the energy for.
Yeah. And I'm not necessarily in a rut. If anything, I've been practicing more recently. And I am having a problem with the energy thing because I'm really, really bad about pulling energy either from grounding or from spirit, which I think when we've talked about if you use your own energy, and I think even one of the comments kind of went into this, if you're using your own energy, you're going to drain out really
quickly. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I think, you know, using your own energy in conjunction with the energy that you pull from your surroundings or wherever you pull energy from is that you're adding your own little spice to it. You're tying it to yourself. It's very important, but it can't be the only, source of energy that you're using. So I'm kind of running into that issue where you do a ritual or spell work or something, and then afterwards you go, I feel like crap. Because I'm remembering that I forgot to ground.
Yeah.
And then it's one of those things that, you know, still to this day, you get shocked by, oh shit, this is real. This is real shit. Do you still get shocked that way?
Because I do. Absolutely. Yeah. All the time. All the time.
Because the other day I went out and I did something that I thought was it was pretty large. It was pretty hefty. And I did a full thing, and I haven't done a full thing in a long time. And I mean, I called on and thanked spirit and element and sorry, I was thinking about how deep I wanted to go into it. Cause sometimes I'm like, I'm really weird about like,
I'm the same way.
It's not going to happen. But I won't go into what it was about, but basically I'll just say there was a lot of energy used, and I did the grounding thing, and I did the pulling energy from spirit or from up above or whatever. And the difference was tangible. And okay. I just had one of those like, oh, shit, dude, this is kind of real shit.
Yeah, I was converted to the importance of that earlier this year when I did a big time home protect, like the big, you know, like a big one. I'm probably due to do it again here very soon when we get some good weather. But it was a big one. You know, I called in, like I wound up casting a circle that surrounded the house. It was massive, you know, and I kind of called in everything and I gave the elements and the directions, like offerings. It was serious business, you know, and that was, I think, the first big spell I ever did to where I did a full cast like that and raised up the energy. And then like once I was done, I walked it around again and released it all, you know, I felt fine. And that was some of the biggest like spell casting I had ever done. And then I was like, all right, well, I could just go about my business right now. You know, it's amazing the difference.
Yeah. And I have even in that state forgot to, for me, it's very important to kind of you can call it closing the circle or releasing the energy or like whatever you personally call it. But for me, if I don't do that, if I just sort of walk away from the spell and I'm like, okay, there it is, I'm done. I'm bursting at the seams. I'm like shaking with too much energy, and it's not a pleasant feeling.
Yeah.
It's a lot of energy that's not yours. And I think it gets released naturally. You know, it's going to happen, but you do kind of sit there for a minute and you just like, I've gotten headaches from it before and just, you just don't feel fucking good. So I think that that's another thing is to remember to just know yourself, know your body, dude.
Yeah.
What did we say the other day about like explore? Wabah, explore.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember. Oh, explore.
Live stream.
Oh, yeah. Quarantine. Yeah.
It was go explore it.
Go explore it. That's right.
Oh, my God. Gross.
I guess we should also, before we get talking about the topics, we should talk about the prince.
That's right. We got big news. Sit down.
That sounded like Linda.
I am Linda, bitch. So, Macy, tell them about, we have big news. And there's no way you guys guessed that we were going to do this again, because we never once said that we were going to do this more than once ever. But we got prints.
Yeah. Edition two.
Oh,
these
dose
are so cool.
Spy.
They're so cool. And I'm so excited about them. And I just think they're so fucking cute and I can't get over it. And while I really loved the witch design that Lyra came up with, I just feel like she really had fun with this one. And I love it so much because of that.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We have once again partnered with Lyra Street or Valyrian Steel. Check her out on Instagram.
That's not her name on Instagram.
The amazing. What is it? It's Valyrian Steel,
Root.
Valyrian Root.
Nice little Game of Thrones plug-in.
My mind was elsewhere. Check her out on her Instagram on Valyrian Root, not Valyrian Steel. And she has come up with our first quarterly first print of 2021. It's a little bit of a spring theme, a little of a wintry, chilly, springy theme that is beyond the cutest thing you've ever seen in your whole goddamn
life. It's precious. And she explored kind of the folk art style from where she grew up in Ukraine and whatnot. And she kind of incorporated that into this. And it the moment like she sent us the one like of it mostly being done, I fell in love with our little cryptid boy, and I love him so much.
Yes. We do have a cryptid featured quite prominent on the front of this one. If you'd like to check it out, you can go to
it's you can pick it up. It is at WBAH print shop, wabahprintshop.com.
We will have links for that in the show notes here. We will have links for that on our socials, as well as maybe a couple little, a pick or two, a teaser pick. But if you are in the market for collecting, if you jumped on that first collectible that we had, it's number two is out. It's ready to go. And we're only going to be running these through St. Patty's Day. You got 2 weeks, folks.
And this time, due to request from the last time, I don't know why y'all want us ruining this with our Hancocks, but we'll be signing the front of these.
Literally, Hancock was not the first thing to come to mind. I thought that you said ruining these with our Hancocks, but I'm there now. And yeah, we're signing the front of these. And I don't know what you guys asked us to do that for. We're just old grandmothers.
Honestly, what you thought that I said also makes sense, because can you imagine how ugly a signature would be if you're trying to sign it with Hancocks?
Yeah, I think at that point you're better off dipping it in ink and just like dragging slapping it on the print. Yeah. Just do a little mushroom stamp. Yeah.
Gross.
Anyways, check that out, you guys. That's at wbahprintshop.com. And before we go any further, now that we're already surely an hour into this episode already, and we're let's just get into it. Today's episode is dedicated to Cat B. What's new, cat, cat, cat?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
B. What's new, cat, cat, cat?
Awful. Fucking Tom Jones.
Oh, baby.
Whoop. She is Cat B. Whoa, whoa, whoa. She's Cat B. Talking about the cat little bee. Cat B. And the Cat B is mine.
Oh, wow. I love that you just, you took what I did, but you made it a lot better.
Couldn't have done it without you.
My God. Okay, Macy, I do believe that you get the floor first today.
Great. All right. I'm going to talk to you for probably a long time about garlic. Are you ready?
It's all I want in my life is to be chatted at about garlic.
So garlic, or as it is, its scientific name, Allium sativum. It's not a hard word. So it is a species in the same family as onions, and a close relative to shallots, leeks, and chives. The genus is Allium. So I saw that
Allium sounds like a Harry Potter spell, like a Allium.
Isn't it pretty? I know. I like it too. Like it reminded me of Oh, what is the word for, what is like the full word for like aloe, aloin or whatever? What is that? That's what it reminds me of.
Aloe vera.
Yeah, you did the topic and it was like, there was a full word for it. I thought it was like aloin or something like that. And that's what it reminds me of.
A million years ago.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember shit once we talk about it.
Wait, we talked about aloe? Yeah. Shit.
So it's native to Central Asia, northeastern Iran, as well as from what I could see, the Mediterranean, and just a big ass history of being consumed and cultivated by humans. Even ancient civilizations, the ancient Egyptians, used it both in like food cooking as well as medicines. And currently today, according to Wikipedia, naturally, China produces 80% of the world's supply of garlic. So
80% is no bitch.
Know, that's a lot of garlic. So the chemicals responsible for the kind of the sharp, the pungentness of garlic that come from when you damage it by like mincing or whatever, these are phytochemicals. And they're why it had like to where, you know, like for instance, when you prepare a clove to cook with, you usually like turn something sideways. Like if I use a big chef's knife, I turn it sideways and kind of like hit it a little bit and mash the clove and then you slice it. Damaging it helps to release these phytochemicals. It happens when the cells are damaged in the plant. So when it's broken by chopping or crushing or chewing or whatever, these enzymes that are stored in the cell trigger this breakdown of these sulfur-containing compounds. And so that's kind of where it comes from. There's a lot of sulfur in garlic, which I wasn't aware of. So while it's in the family of shallots and chives and onions, it has the highest concentration of these phytochemicals, which gives it the edge. You know, like onion can be very strong, but garlic is like, it's on your hands for days and it just lingers.
Yeah.
And that comes from this.
It's the glitter of
it. Is. That's a good way to put it. But like, here's the thing. Like, I love garlic. And even if I'm like on day two, every now and again, I'll just like smell it on my hands. Be like, oh God, oh, that smells good though. And like recognize it, that it's garlic and I love it. Like I will have washed my hand. It doesn't matter. Like it doesn't matter. It will just stay for days. And if I pick up garlic anywhere, yeah, I'm just like, oh, I love it. I just love the smell of garlic.
I do too, but I always have a bit of a battle of trying to get it off of my hands afterwards. And I've tried like the silver trick and all the little tricks, but you'll just be doing something random, like putting on makeup, mm-hmm, and you'll get a big old whiff of garlic. Mm-hmm.
So garlic really just is pungent all the way around, even in how we handle it. So allicin is one of the main contributors to this characteristic odor of garlic. Allicin, a chemical, and it's like A-L-L-I-C-I-N. But as I read it out loud, it sounds like allicin is responsible for this.
Who the fuck is she?
Allicin. And there's these other allicin-derived compounds as well. And so I don't know. I've never experienced this, at least to my knowledge, but apparently if you eat a lot of garlic, it makes you sweat. Like it, you can smell it. Like it, and it was termed on Wikipedia diner's sweat. But also it, I know. And it goes to also talk about like garlic breath, and why, you know, garlic breath, even after you've like brushed your teeth and it's the next day, like, why does that linger? Yeah. So
yeah,
it's because these sulfur compounds, they don't metabolize like a lot of like other foods that we eat do. So they form this compound. I think it's a compound, allyl methyl sulfide, and it can't be digested. And instead is passed into the blood, which carries to the lungs and the skin. So in order to excrete it, you either have to breathe it out or sweat it out. And so you just kind of stink for a while.
Gross.
Yeah, I never knew that.
Gross, dude.
So getting into the history a little bit, there are like cuneiform records all the way back from Mesopotamia of documenting people cultivating garlic 4,000 years ago. They did it for at least 4,000 years. So it had a very big presence in their diet. And there's a lot of history surrounding garlic from all different cultures because of this, because like people have just been using it for so long. And so well-known texts all throughout history, for instance, like religious texts, Christian, Islamic, and Jewish writings, including when the devil is walking out of the Garden of Eden, like garlic springs from where one of his feet lands, apparently. Historically, garlic is tied to low, poor social status, for like peasant type status or just kind of the more impoverished statuses. And many tales around garlic involve poor families, like the fairy tales or like the, you know, the kind of stories and whatnot, poems. And unfortunately, there's like also a tremendous amount of religious and ethnic prejudice present in garlic's history. A lot of it being anti-Semitic.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, and I don't really want to like repeat the slangs because they were terrible, but like it was surprising to read that it was tied in such a way. It's just people suck. It's just ridiculous.
Wow. People really will take anything and make it shit. Yeah,
exactly.
If they can make it shitty towards somebody that they don't like.
They'll do it.
Stupid.
Romans, they were convinced that the power of garlic was super great at banishing evil spirits, and them and many other cultures and civilizations. It's pretty much across the board in that regard. And so they would adorn their house, walls, all kinds of, they would hang the cloves, things like that. They would, hang up pictures, like paintings and artwork of the plant, apparently. So they went an extra level deep, which is really funny to me. And
yeah, they really wanted that.
Yeah,
man, they had a fucking hard on for the garlic.
Hang it up next to their tintinnabulum.
It's like, you know, when trashy teenage boys put up half naked pictures of girls in their room. I feel like it's that, but garlic.
Like Rustin's Brooke Burke posters.
Yeah, it's just, instead of that, it's just two pieces of garlic.
Persian folklore, the plant had magical potential to ward off wicked creatures, and these would be djinns or fairies. Virgin girls and pregnant women needed to be protected all the time, all the time, because everything supernatural just wanted to get you. So garlic had to, it was used in that, hung over bedroom doors and windows and things like that as a deterrent. Very useful in eye smiting, which is kind of combating against the evil eye, which also spans a ton of cultures. It would be placed over the doors and under the cribs or pillows of infants. I'll get into, there's a whole slew of reasons as to why. I'll get into those later. So I saw something interesting, and it said that it's good to dispose. So if you use garlic in spell work, dispose of your little papery skins, because it's those could almost be used as in negative magic against you, leaving your hair behind, something like that. It's a remnant of your energy and your spell work. Yeah. So throw them away or make sure that they're burned or whatever.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was like, damn. Garlic, as we talked about briefly, and I don't have much about it just because it's so known and I was running into so much lore. I was like, I really will have, this will be too long. So medical is pretty short. It's long been used for just about any medical ailment you can think of. It's major in folk medicine all over the world, because it's since been established, society's kind of expanded, and then you have, Europe and the medieval ages, and then that, the new world and all of that. And so garlic has just traveled along the whole way, and it's a bulb. So you can just take it forever and it won't rot, So it's just been transplanted all over the place.
And now there's garlic supplements and stuff. So that's just a modernization of that. It's just lasted this long.
Yeah, exactly. And so it just, it's a very hardy, it's a hardy boy. And, and it does, it just in every, all these cultures all over the world have found benefits for it. Of course, it does have antimicrobial and antifungal properties due to allicin. So there are actual medicinal abilities with this. It's not all just, hooey, there, it does have the ability to be really helpful medically in some situations. So let's get into the,
because of Allison.
Allison is a helpful bitch, man.
She's a fucking bro.
She's here for you, ride or die, Allison.
Cheers to you, Allison.
So let's get into the metaphys. It's a fun time. So It's one of the world's best known apotropaic plants. I think, I don't know if that's how you say it, but do with it what you want. That means that it's used for the intent to turn away evil influences or harm, as in deflecting evil, the evil eye, things like that. And so it is one of the world's best known plants for that. And it's all over the place. So the history, it goes back into ancient civilizations and whatnot. There's just so much superstition, folk medicine, metaphysical practice, things like that due to garlic. And from what I could see, there were some ranges saying that it dated, it was being used back in the Neolithic period, which started 12,000 years ago. So I don't know exactly how, when the cultivation of garlic in that happened, but it's just been around for a really long time with us. The height of, by the time, the Greeks were rocking and rolling, there was already a shit pile of folklore about garlic and beliefs surrounding it. So it's just kind of been at our metaphysical side for a long time. And this especially goes for Hecate. It's a pretty common offering to leave for Hecate, and has long been left as an offering to her. I saw you can do that at a crossroads, or you can grow garlic or have it planted around your entryways, like an honoring, and things like that. And that made sense to me, because it is so heavily based in the Mediterranean, and that's a huge natural hotspot for garlic. So it kind of makes sense that it was very incorporated, as well as into the cuisine there. Garlic is a really prominent fixture in Mediterranean cuisine. And it's neat when it's that makes sense, huh? It's because it's literally all over the place there.
I didn't think of it like that. I didn't think of how it naturally would be a very abundant. And then also that's just the area where Hecate kind of sprang from. So it is a natural conclusion. I just never put it together.
So from what I could find, there's two main camps of what garlic is good for in regards to magic. And you have protection and passion, and those are the two.
Oh, what? Yeah. Ew, stinky passion.
Yeah. So in Mediterranean tradition, particularly in Spain, there's I saw source after source talking about Spain and the really kind of intense use of garlic for protection against the evil eye. A clove can be carried in a pocket or worn in an amulet. You can hang up garlic bunches out of your doorway or plant it in front of your house, things like that. But incorporating it as protection against the evil eye, especially nowadays in still the rural areas, it seems pretty common. There's some pretty great witch repellent history surrounding garlic in a lot of cultures. And it's so
gotta keep
it's
away.
So dumb. I love it so much. It's just, and I was the whole time I was reading this, I was I will literally take a bath in garlic. This is so dumb.
This was a rumor started by a witch that's you totally keep witches away with garlic. Sure, bro.
And so yeah. Apparently, a lot of the time, from what I can see, the reason witches can't stand the smell. They're just repelled by it. They can't go near it. It smells too bad. And witches just can't deal with the smell of garlic.
I mean, a lot of people don't like the smell. So did you have to then pretend that you didn't mind it so people wouldn't think you were a witch?
I don't know. Here, I just assume everything smelled so horrible back then that garlic would have to be a reprieve.
Yeah.
So in Serbia, or Serbian lore, witches apparently are you're most likely to get eaten by a witch on Christmas or Easter.
It's one I like to eat.
I know. I thought the same thing. So people, if they don't want to get eaten by a witch on Christmas or Easter, can rub themselves down with garlic to repel the hungry witches from going after them, because you've got to eat people on Easter. So,
bitch, you're just seasoning yourself for me. Keep going. Stop.
Oh, cannibalism. Just like Esther used to do.
Oh, yeah.
And so, and I really liked this a lot. I thought this was clever. And so it would also though be paired with like a verbal incantation or like a command with, so along with rubbing down with garlic, you have like this incantation or something that is like giving the witch an impossible task to accomplish before they can eat the person. So say for instance, like you have a kid, you rub your kid down with garlic. And then as you're doing it, you say like, any witches who want to eat this child have to count all of the stars in the sky before they can do so. And it's like an impossible thing to do. And then they run out of time because they like to eat on Easter and Christmas. So they can't do that in a day. And so then the kid won't get eaten. And they'll move on to another tasty child whose loving parents, I guess, didn't rub them down with garlic.
Dumbasses. Yeah.
So this was another tasty one that made me happy. So to further protect against witches or hags, men could keep garlic on their person at night so they would be safe from witches who want to turn them into horses and ride them all night long.
Oh, there's a return. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
There that is again. What the fuck?
I know.
And also, can you imagine these men, these full grown ass men are just like, oh, I gotta go pick some garlic today because I don't want a witch to come into my room at night when I'm in my jammies and turn me into a pony.
The witch is gonna ride me.
Can't have that.
So, as we well know, babies are always threatened in folklore. Everything wants your baby. Everything wants to take your baby, or everything wants to kill your baby. Everything.
I guess.
So garlic protects against many of these said baddies who want to take your baby. And so whether it's like the witches or the fae, the devil, you name it, garlic is here to help.
The devil just runs a fucking nursery.
So, garlic, along with sharp iron objects such as nails or scissors, would be placed under the baby's crib, over the door. Or yeah, I saw some that like left them in the crib with like a sleeping baby, and you could hang them over the door or hang them outside the child's window or all of the above. So they're protected under the crib. Nothing can fly in. Nothing can come in. And, you know, it'll make it to where nobody's going to take your baby away, you know, just in case.
Just put your baby in a room full of knives.
You know.
Safe.
I know. And like, I was like, and a lot of this, and I have the source down here, was from like an academic, like a paper, you know, and even they like wrote right there, like, what, you know, like they would just put sharp objects next to these babies.
I like to imagine that the very like professional collegiate, you know, writer of this paper, they just put like WUT yeah, question mark.
What? So apparently, combining garlic with mugwort is a really stout protection against fairies, according to a bunch of folklore and whatnot. And we got to get into the vampires. We got to talk about that because I would be remiss if I didn't get into that.
I would be mad.
I would be mad. So deterrence of vampires, you know, it's with garlic. It's kind of like a cliche now, but there is basis in actual like folk practices. So for instance, there are multiple sources in the 19th century in Romania that say that garlic can be placed in the mouth of a dead person and they won't become a vampire if you do that.
Okay.
You know, So
casual.
In certain Slavic beliefs, it's known that there were some like Slavic sources. It's known that a man is a vampire if he does not eat garlic. So if somebody had an aversion to garlic, they're just a fucking vampire. It is known.
What if you're allergic?
Yeah, I know. You know, so you're a fucking vampire. You better choke it down anyway.
You're right. Well, and then especially, yeah. And then you start having a reaction and they're like, oh, well, he's definitely he's a fucking vampire. His body's rejecting it.
God. So this one's a little bit ridiculous. And I'm going to just read this one verbatim because it's just ridiculous. So vampires fight with or ride on hemp breaks, devices used to process hemp into fiber, and may visit houses and ask for them. If they enter, inhabitants should place needles on the house threshold accompanied by garlic. This traps the vampire in the house until he, quote, gets the needles and removes the garlic, thus proving she is a vampire.
Okay. There's a lot to unpack with that.
Yeah, it just gets weirder. What is a hemp? So they ride or fight hemp breaks, for one. And they might come to your house and ask for them, either to ride or fight, mm-hmm. I suppose. Mm-hmm. And then if they enter, you then put needles and garlic on the threshold. And here's where I get confused. It says this traps the vampire in the house until it, quote, gets out the needles and removes the garlic, thus proving it's a vampire. So I would think that if they can't pick them up, then they're a vampire. But they'll pick them up and they're still a vampire.
And also, it's sort of like, okay, so what now? You proved it was a vampire. Congrats, you're fucked. Like, it seems like if you just gave him his thing that he wanted to ride or fight, you might be fine. But if you're like trapping him in your house with garlic and shit, and then what? There's what for? It doesn't stop him. It doesn't do anything. He's still going to get it.
Lets you know so you can murder.
He's proved it. Yeah. Well, if he starts trying to take the pins out of the garlic, you can go ahead and stick a table leg through his heart.
Well, and I'm reading this again, if it's like that weird, like vampire lore with like compulsion, to where maybe it's like, you know, it's a vampire if they have to immediately get down and start picking up the needles and the garlic. And that's like, oh, you're a vampire.
Kind of like demons have to count chickpeas.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's not, yeah, it's demon lore, not vampire lore. But yeah, that's what I'm wondering if that is.
Yeah. Same thing. I mean, I'm sure that they probably roots from the same thing.
So you can rub down your cows with garlic so vampires won't suck on them. And since vampires apparently just turn into goop and slip through keyholes and chimneys, you got to rub those down too.
How greasy and stinky are these people's houses and bodies and cows?
And sticky too. Garlic's sticky. So there is a bit of counterintuitive info on witches and garlic, because this happens a lot with like crazy witch bullshit, like panic, to where like there are things that repel witches but witches also use, and so it doesn't really make any goddamn sense, and this is one of them. So like, yeah. Garlic was among the list of plants that kind of identified witches, which is stupid too, because like it was a peasant thing and everybody had it, but it was like a thing. It's like, oh, they have garlic. Mm-hmm. They're a witch.
Well, it makes it easier, I guess, to call somebody out for being a witch. If it's like people who have skin are witches, then when you want to call someone a witch, you're like, look, she's got skin.
Yeah. You know, it's just like, all right, guys. So in North America, garlic was carried as a charm, just kind of to prevent disease, including like smallpox infections such as that. And similar to other places, being hung over the door, you could tie it around your neck. Some people would string them together, like string cloves together. And I saw you could also do that as protection against the evil eye. Like they would string a clove and a blue bead, like alternate, you know, and like make a necklace. Strove. I found a very interesting treatment. For a condition called susto, which in parentheses, it was a psychosomatic condition. And you know how you treat that with garlic? You put a piece up your butt for 9 nights.
No, I knew it. I fucking knew it, dude.
Shove it up your butt.
The fact that it's called susto. That's sus.
So you shove it, you push your little garlic clove up there and you leave it there for 9 days. Okay.
Nine days.
And if the garlic absorbs completely, the patient will be better after 9 days.
But wait, how do you poop?
That's exactly.
Or do you have to like re?
Yeah, I don't know. That was exactly my thought.
They didn't.
And I was like, well, it's never going to work. It's got to stay up there for 9 nights.
I wonder if that.
Oh, maybe it's once a night. Maybe it's like you do it on per night. Every night for 9 nights, you got to like push a clove up there and sleep on it.
If it absorbs, that doesn't even make sense because it's not like it's not all absorbable material.
No, it's not.
I think somebody just like accidentally pooped it out and they were like, oh, it must have been absorbed.
So.
Okay, well, good to know.
So this was all from, and this is a bit of a strange link, and I'll put it in the notes, but this was from digest.champlain.edu. That's where a lot of this has come from, and I have more from it still, but this is where I happened to put the link. So that's where this came from. So as you can see, there's like mad protect. It's all about protection. Yeah, it's a big thing about it. I can be used in a bunch of different ways. So whether you were like, maybe you want to like rub down your sills or whatever with a clove, hang some around your home or cook with it. To me, I cook with a lot of garlic and I think it's an excellent addition in kitchen magic and kitchen witchery. And it really seems to have a strength, especially in protection in regards to protection from an outside source. So defensive magic, it seems to do that more kind of like, push away, you know, against evil, against this. It's like, it's a very good, like outside threat type of energy. And, you know, and this can be from everything from like a non-physical bad being, like a demon, to like a very much alive ill wisher. You know, it's pretty versatile. So you could pop you a clove in like a jar spell, add it to a protection charm bag, like diffuse it and make an oil with it. Like whatever you name, whatever you want to do. It's super versatile. It's a kitchen mat. It's like kitchen witchery. Like it's a cooking herb. You can do anything with it. But I did mention earlier there was passion involved. So let's talk about
put them up your butt.
You shove it up your butt. Let's talk about the love portion. So there's a fair amount of history tying garlic to sex, sexy time. And this also goes with using it in food. Like, so apparently, I didn't know this, but I found it in multiple places, that kind of a love potion in a way, like a classic love potion, is like tomato sauce with garlic and basil, which also makes sense from the area that it came from. But like that's kind of a
and it's a delicious soup to have with a toasty.
Delicious.
Just got excited about toasty.
Well, exactly, you know, and it's like, well, and like a sauce for like pasta, you know, it's like, that's like, I mean, like fucking, you want to wow your love interest, make like a goddamn Sunday gravy, you know? I was like, damn.
Oh man. Oh, and you know what? Also, what a traditional like romantic date night.
Well,
type thing. It's like, you know, go out and have like that kind of food.
Exactly. And so that really popped, like that stood out to me, because to me, you know, sex magic or love magic is very similar to all other kinds of spell work I do, even protection work, to where there's a lead up to it. It's not just something you do and you're done, you know, until you do your spell and you're like, all right, this is going to work. It's like, no, like if you're really trying to like get some, you know, especially like some sex magic on, dinner is a really serious part of that, or it can be, you know, and like having something like that, you know, cooking with foods and all of the flavors and textures and, you know, foods are full of aphrodisiacs and it's just sensation. All of these things really can play into that. And so it really spoke to me that something like that, especially a meal, you know, of like a red sauce with like garlic, that's just to your bones delicious, you know, and like, it is. And I was picturing that with like, you know, like a pretty room with like some candles. And I was just like, man, yeah, if that's like not going to get you in the mood, fuck, you know, like, and it was just, it made perfect sense to me, you know? So I really liked that. I like the idea of adding it to food and things like that to kind of draw love in, you know, and maybe spice things up a little bit. You know, like protection. Hey,
spice it up.
Like protection, it can be thrown into like a love spell bag. You could put some under your bed or wherever you prefer your sexy time to happen. Or just, you know what, just rub yourself down and see what happens. Like, you know, just maybe try that.
On the roof.
And you can, you could also make an anointing oil with that. You could dress candles, perhaps, if you have like the sexy ones that are like the dick and vagina, or like just regular chime tapers, you know, whatever one, you can anoint those with the garlic, you know, as like an extra like oomph to your candle spell. So I do want to say
this. I love how you said the sexy candles, you know, like the dick,
yeah, you know. So I do want to say that, of course, love magic is not all about sex. It's far from it. And you can direct this accordingly. So, you know, that same meal in a different setting can also just inspire tenderness and appreciation and fondness. You know, love doesn't always have to be like that intimate kind of love. You know, a good magical meal prepared with love and intention is a major tool when it comes to conveying that emotion, especially for those, especially, and I'm one of these people whose love language is to express love more like that. It's to like express love through action instead of words. And
yeah. You're like acts of service.
Yeah. And I will. And that's kind of how I do that. And cooking has always been that way for me. You know, I like to cook for people and take my time and things like that. And people can taste that. Like, you know, if somebody put time into, and it's just like, that's also love magic. And I don't want that to get lost that it's not.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's obviously many different types of love, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. You can go with the full on sexy time or whatever, but there's also just the love that comes from like cooking for your family that you love or friends that you love. And it's kind of a joke when people are like, oh, you know, the secret ingredient, it's love. And I get it, but I think that's kind of a joke for a reason.
Yeah.
It's because you can very much tell when somebody's gone that extra step. And I mean, I love a fucking microwave pizza or whatever, like anybody else, but a good home cooked meal where somebody like put their love and care into it, dude, you just saw it.
Yeah. So that's garlic.
Lovely. What a lovely stinky boy.
I know. Really, all around, just a helpful guy.
Helpful and health and healthy. That's the tagline.
Moral of the story.
That's what it is. That's the tagline now.
What is it in Rick and Morty? That's the way she goes. I don't remember what he says.
Yeah. What is he? Oh, fuck. That's going to be dead now. All right. But I got stuff to say. Listen, you know, we're a fan of divination here on the Witch Bitch Divination Hour.
We are.
Yeah.
We are.
Right. And we both have our preferred methods of divination, but something that we have both tried before and never really got the hang of Tarot cards.
Tarot cards. And like the main reason for that is that I personally am pretty overwhelmed by tarot. There's a tremendous amount of cards to learn. And always really, really stresses me out. And so like, I like, honestly, like this sponsor of this episode, like when they reached out to us, I was so fucking excited because I was very aware of this item. And like, I was super excited about it.
Absolutely. I've had this particular item saved on my Etsy list for as long as I can, probably since its conception. And for somebody who like me finds it hard to even fully memorize the major arcana, just those cards, not even to mention the absolute pile of other cards. Anyway, we're talking about the Territorial deck. Territorial. Get it? Do you get it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the first things I thought when I read. Like, I saw their listing a long time ago, and I was like, Territorial. Ooh, I like that. Ooh, yeah.
It's a tutorial for tarot.
This deck is produced by Raven and Rogue, and they are our sponsors this week, which is just so cool.
If you haven't heard about the Territorial deck, I want to speak on it for you guys. And this is from the mouth of the creator themselves. It says, I made the deck initially as a reference tool for my daughter, Grace. She wanted flashcards as a quick way to learn tarot, and we ended up developing a full deck. I love hearing about the impact the deck has had on others who are just learning too. That, to me, is such the way I learn.
Yes.
Dude, I have learned everything on flash.
Absolutely.
The Territorial deck features the meanings of the cards that's upright and reversed. It's printed directly on the card each way. So if it's the reversed and you pull the reversed, it's already reversed and ready for you to read. It's got all kinds of associations on it, the meaning of the card, explanations. Makes it really easy for you to say, okay, I pulled the Three of Cups. That means XYZ. And you start to learn that way. So in lieu of having traditional illustrations, you have the broken down meaning. And that is so fucking cool.
Yeah. And just incredibly helpful. And like, because here's the thing, like, I was able to, I cracked this bad boy open. And it's absolutely gorgeous, too. Like, it's a beautiful deck. And, you know, and here's the other thing. And I really appreciate this. Some cards don't. You can shuffle this deck and you can shuffle it right out of the box. It's not stiff or it's not too slippery. Oh, yeah. Like I was able to really get it shuffling and like I did like a quick reading and the beauty of it being it was quick because I didn't have to then like pull my phone out and be like, all right, what do y'all mean? And like kill the mood. Yeah. You know, I was like, okay, let me read it. And it just really changed the experience. So I wasn't flying blind in doing so. I was just able to pull cards, read them and be like, fuck, all right, there we go.
And the thing is, what's funny about what you said is you shared the reading that you did with me. And it was not only was it super, super accurate, but the thing is I actually remember the meaning of the first card that you showed me. That's why I actually said Three of Cups earlier is because you pulled that.
Yeah.
And I remember that now because it has it. And you brought up another point of it keeps you in the moment. You don't have to kill the mood by referencing the little, okay, what does this mean? And, oh, okay, now I have to pull a clarifier card because I'm confused. And, you know, you get to stay in that zone and you get to really feel like, hey, I just did a full reading. I got my meaning and I didn't once have to go and look it up and be like, oh, what does that mean?
Yeah, exactly. And because of that, it's just an overall, it's a good deck for everybody. Like, it's good for people who are learning, or maybe you've been out of the game for a while and, you know, you need to brush up, you know, and it's an excellent deck to kind of be able to get back in the swing of things. Or if you're like a super seasoned reader, it's just nice to be clear. You know, there's something really nice about just the clarity that comes with having it all right there for you, especially for things like daily draws. You know, and whatnot. It's just,
I was just going to say
perfect,
it.
You know, and that's also just a good way to get in the practice of doing something like this every day. So yeah, I think it's a great, just an overall, I just think it's a great idea.
All of Raven and Rogue's territorial decks are produced in-house and assembled by hand, which to me is so cool. It's always so cool to hear that. It's just a, you know, it's there's not a big massive right. machine printing these out and doing all the work. There's somebody lovingly putting this deck together. And can we talk about how beautiful the deck is?
It's beautiful. I love the like the symbol, like, you know, the back of the card. Yeah. And they came so yeah. gorgeous. Like, they were wrapped in this beautiful black paper with this gorgeous, like, I love a wax seal. You love a wax seal. We love a wax seal on Wubba. And ooh. It was like, it's this raven. It's like a profile of like a blackbird, this wax seal, you know, kind of like, oh, it was, it's just gorgeous, you know? And then the cards just are all shiny and new, but they shuffle and you can really just get to work with them right away. It just felt right. It felt good to use.
So if you are learning tarot for the first time, or if you are seasoned and you just want a little brush up, the Tarotorial deck is, I think the best, I haven't seen anything else like this, honestly. Yeah. I've not seen anything else like this out there. And I thought it was such a cool idea. It was so cool. And lucky for you, that's what I like. But lucky for you listeners, you can save 10% on your order with the code BEANS. That's uppercase BEANS.
And you can check them out on the social medias. Instagram, they are at Raven and Rogue. And they are also at Raven and Rogue on TikTok.
Check them out.
It really is. Like, just one last little word on it. Like, it's cool. Like, I really, like, I was so excited to hear from them and, like, work with them on this, because it's just like, I love a good product.
I love that. And that's the thing. I know technically we've wrapped up here, but again, I just want to say, you can probably hear how truly and genuinely excited and pumped up we are about this. It's just a good product. Something that solves mm-hmm. a problem is irreplaceable. Mm-hmm.
It's a job well done.
So anyway, it's a job. Well, that's what you said yep. one time.
I love, you said, a, job I love well done.
A job well done. Mm-hmm. Oh man. Okay. And with that, I'm going to roll into Jade. In our most recent live stream that we recorded actually yesterday, one of the hot fresh virgins to the live stream is a geologist, and they said that they appreciated the rock episodes. So that kind of made me go, "You know what? I'm going to do a rock episode just cuz of that. Just cuz I know one person out there is like well-versed in this, and they're like, I like it." And I'm like, wow, that's all the confirmation I needed. But I'm talking to you about jade. Again, the stone, not the plant. That's, I guess, a future episode. But it is deeply tied to the earth, as all gems are. I feel like all gems are pretty much and primarily earth element, but this one in particular, it has a deep, deep connection to the earth. The zodiac I saw associated with it the most is Pisces. The chakra is the heart. The planet it's tied to is Mercury. I'm going to buy me a Mercury and cruise it up and down the road. Oh. You remember that?
Whoa. Yeah, I do.
Did that take you yeah. back? Okay. All right. The deity tied to Jade, I guess the most common deity tied to Jade, is the goddess of love and compassion, Kuan Yin. And also, it's just happens to be the national stone of Japan, which I thought was cool. Didn't know that. I don't typically, do we have a, like a national, what's the national stone of the U.S.?
Turquoise.
Is there one? I'm going to look it up. that's just the stone of the south. Oh my God, dude.
Oh,
tourmaline.
That I feel like it doesn't make sense. We were too much of a mess.
Well, actually, tourmaline. I think it might just be tourmaline. It says here the natural rock is just a clump of dirt.
Apparently, states have stones.
No,
states have their.
Yeah, I've messed up here. I think tourmaline is just. It says it was the first gemstone mined. But what's the? Do you know the stone?
Apparently,
Texas?
Silver, precious silver. The metal is silver.
Well, we're going to have to disagree on that.
Apparently, Vermont's is talc.
Vermont, I'm sorry you got screwed.
South Dakota gets rose quartz. That's sweet.
Oh, that's
Rhode Island gets serpentine.
Who gets like one? Ooh. Who gets like a like onyx or like obsidian?
Oh, Oklahoma. Fucking Oklahoma. They get fucking like satin spar.
Oh, well, I guess that makes sense.
Or selenite.
That or like Arkansas would make sense.
All right. Let me see if I can find like a cool.
Just tell us all 50 right now. Go.
North Carolina gets gold. Why are y'all so special?
I feel like that's showing off a little bit.
Massachusetts has Babingtonite.
What in the hell?
Kentucky, unsurprisingly, has coal.
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, I could be wrong, but that seems like there's export.
Yeah, location wise, yeah, it makes total sense.
I mean,
yeah, that's, I think.
What's California?
California.
I know we got a big handful of California.
They also get gold. So apparently people have to share gold.
Huh. Oh, look, it says here, Texas gets gold too. What do you know?
Oh, I just scrolled over. Apparently there's a whole bunch more per one. Jake. Yeah. Whoa. Oh. Bells.
Okay, Jade. So Jade is the topic that we're actually doing. Jade is most commonly green in color, but it can be brown, yellow, or even a creamy white color called mutton fat jade.
I like that.
It not only is fun to say, it's fun to say creamy. It's also fun to look at. It's gorgeous. It's just, it's creamy. It's
mutton fat jade.
Mutton fat jade. It's just like this white jade, but it looks like,
oh yeah,
it's creamy. Creamy. That's the best
word
I
would use.
It is creamy. What we call jade is actually either nephrite or jadeite or some combination of both, but jadeite is like the pure jadeite. It's more exquisite and expensive. So it's in some cases jadeite is referred to as like the true jade, even though that's not technically true. It's just like the rich person's jade.
Yeah.
I guess you could say nephrite is the what was it, the sorry cousin of
sorry, cousin.
Blue jean denim cousin.
The poor man's lapis.
Oh, poor. Yeah. Okay. To tell the difference, if you have a piece of jade, if you want to tell if you have jadeite or nephrite. Now, remember, it can be a combination of both, so just keep that in mind. But in general, you can do what they call the chime test. And that's where you tap the jade against something harder than the jade. And nephrite will make a chime sound. Ooh. And jadeite will not. And, you know, it's just sort of like the crystal test. If you want to tell if you have real crystal, you make the wine glass sing, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. And like a glass wine glass won't do that. It's just sort of the same thing here. But nephrite, however, has a few types. There's a few types of nephrite that contain a form of asbestos, as a lot of these like silica-based gems like sometimes do. So I would just advise I'm advising against putting it in water or water cleansing it or putting it in your body, mm-hmm, in any form. Just be careful. So the history. People have wanted jade for a very long time. About 6,000 BC is where we have sort of the first evidence of mining for jade. So I guess they used it beforehand, but then they figured out that they could get it if they dug, and they began mining jade in 6,000 BC. And this was mostly for decorative as well as ceremonial purposes. Mm. It's highly prized and has been for a very long time, highly prized in many parts of Asia as well as Mesoamerica, which was where it two places it kind of originated. Today it is mined I mean, just a slew of places all over the world. Yeah. Jade is mined and comes from, but primarily Mesoamerica and Asia is where it has really deep history because they were the first ones to have it. During the Shang Dynasty, which was 1600 to 10,000-ish BC, or not 10,000, 1,000 BC, kings were buried with jade, making it known as the Imperial Gem. Mm. In the Han Dynasty, royals were made Han. I did that in the live stream too.
Actually, you were, that one was right. She was Han or Han, apparently.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, yeah, it was backwards. If you give me two chances, it's not my guarantee you I'll screw both of them up. But royals were made burial suits out of jade, like jade tiles, and it looks slick. Man, it's just these like sarcophagus is almost made out of these jade tiles, and they would just be made to fit you, and you'd be buried again if you were, of course, you know, important enough to have that.
Yeah.
No shit. At some points, because of stuff like that, if you weren't just like a commoner, and they were just like, oh, I'm in the river. At some point, jade has been more expensive, or at some points through history, jade has been more expensive than gold, because of its rarity, and you know, also because of the fact that it was expensive, it's rare. It, of course, becomes this symbol. It's this mark of somebody rich and just like upper crust of society.
Upper crust.
It has become upper a real, you know, I'm an upper crust man.
Wow.
It becomes so important. It became so important in Chinese history with special regard to art. It was used in the tools used to create art itself. So not only was it being put into things like statues and in the art pieces, but you also would have like your paintbrush made out of jade, and your sculpting tools would be made of jade. And what my favorite that I saw was your writing pen, your quill or whatever would be made of jade. Which was very cool. And that also gives it a tie to creativity, gives it a tie to art and the creation of art.
That's cool.
In a magical sense. I know. I loved that, man. In a magical sense, jade is all about abundance. It's a rock star for abundance.
Oh, there it is.
It brings an abundance. It brings an abundance of... It brings abundance in the form of luck, friendship, and even self-sufficiency, which was an interesting little add-on that I don't think we see a lot. It's like a self-sufficient, like a way to be self-sufficient. This necessarily, you probably could use it in prosperity or financial abundance because it's green in color and because it is a general like attracting stone. However, there for the first time like ever, there wasn't a lot of focus put on financial gain or financial abundance. Mm-hmm. This was all about luck, having good luck, making new friends, making like strengthening your relationship with your friends, stuff like that. It also can bring a sense of peace and harmony, and is considered just an all-around good luck charm. Now, jade is also one of those stones, and there's only like a handful out there, that not only produce like a good energy, but it actually takes, it actually will change negative or low vibes into higher vibes. So it transmutes, I guess, the energy around it instead of just pumping out good. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the bad's still here, but it's further away. Or in the reverse, just sucking in the bad stuff, but not really producing any good. It's it's just constantly kind of churning it out, which is, I think, helpful. It's like
that's super helpful.
But because of this, yeah, man. it helps because of this. It helps bring stability to unstable emotions. And lastly, to wrap up jade, because you know, little short but sweet sucker here. It is useful in dream work. This is one of the best stones to bring lucidity to your dreams, if that's what you're after. Can also help keep away nightmares, help you recall your dreams easier. Even if you want to have like contact dreams, spirit contact dreams, stuff like that. You can work with this. But the heavy hitter is in lucid dreaming. So if that's something you are trying to do, get you a little jade. Stick you a jade under the pillow.
I sent you a picture of this really silly jade horse that I found online when I was looking at pictures of jade.
Look at his teeth. I know. Look at his eye. His eye is just one circle, so silly. Like, carved out.
I love him.
I love him. I love him so much. And his ears are back. He's ready to bite. No,
that's what he looks like he wants to do.
And look at his little, like, chubby under chin.
Oh, he's cute. He's a cutie.
Oh, and that's another thing that I forgot to mention is jade figurines are extremely popular. More so than I think a lot of other things because of its carvability, the softness. Yeah, and that comes down to the two types, like the unfortunately the like asbestosy ? One that's the softer one that can be carved easier.
Oh, I thought it would be like the goat milk one or whatever that was called.
That one too. That one too. The rib meat? No, not rib
mutton
meat.
Mutton chops?
Horse milk? What is it? Mutton chops, mutton fat. Mutton
man, we're back in.
There we go. And we got it. What did you say about a buttery fat cow?
Yeah, Highland cows. They're buttery fat cows.
Highland coos are buttery fat cows. Oh, all right. Anyway, that's jade for you.
Wow, I feel cleansed.
I have always really enjoyed the name Jade. Yeah. Like as a name of a person.
Pretty.
I love the name Jade. Especially was it Jade from fucking Eternal Champions?
Jetta.
It was Jade and Shadow. Jetta.
Jetta, yeah.
Never mind. Then take all of that.
Wow. This was a long one.
Yeah, man. Oh boy. And we ain't done yet.
Nope. Getting there.
I got one. I got some buttery fat, some mutton fat filled bean review footage. I mean, review footage, take out bean. Today's review footage comes from Sassiest Panther Cat.
Oh, I like it.
Sassiest Panther Cat. It's cute. And this is called One of My Favorite Podcasts. You just did the perfect Owen Wilson. Wow. I have the most perfect I have ever heard. Wow.
I can only do it when I'm not thinking about it. They have to be natural, apparently.
I mean, it almost sounded like a fucking soundboard drop. It was so dead ass on. Wow. Okay. So this review says, one of my favorite podcasts. This podcast is amazing.
Whoa.
I feel connected to the hosts and I love their dynamic. They talk in a way that makes everything easy for me to comprehend and put to use. We also talk about butts a lot.
We feel like I'm actually
learning and absorbing. Oh boy. Learning and absorbing information, and I feel more connected with myself. Yeah,
that's great. I'm glad we could. I'm glad you got that from our shit pile of a show.
I know. Anytime anyone is very like serious and genuine and like, you don't like this, like this has helped me. It makes me crawl inside of my own body and just go, why?
Yeah.
Why? Have you seen that Vine of that preacher that they just cut to say why?
Yes.
They just cut out everything except all the time. Yeah. He says why.
Why?
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 Why? Why? I love it so much.
That's one of my favorite. That is probably the vine that gets to live rent-free in my head all the time. It will never die because it is with me. All right, guys, please don't forget to check out our prints that we have over on WBAHprintstore.com. Is that right?
WBAHprintshop.com.
And I can't wait. Dude, I'm already envisioning having it put up in a frame next to the first edition one that we did. And I can't wait to have them live next to each other. It's going to look.
I know.
So super cool. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put it in my altar area because I just feel a massive amount. And I'm not just saying this, you know, because it's our thing. I feel a massive amount of like energy from these. I feel like Lyra has put so much fucking creative energy into these that it just radiates from it. And plus,
yeah,
we're on the cover and we look cute.
Yeah. 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 This is the first one of actually us being depicted. And she did us in these adorable little like folk art kind of like almost just like little, almost like little Russian nesting doll artwork, almost like our faces, the way that our faces look. Yeah. It's so cute.
Cute little, like just a cute little stubby bodies, you know, and I almost want to just talk about the whole thing, but I don't want to do that. I want you guys to see it. So go feast your eyes. Wabah shop. Wabahprintshop.com.
Yes.
There. I'm sure that I'm sure it can be cut together. You know, listen, if you are interested in advertising with the Witch Bitch Amateur Hour, please shoot us an email to wbahpodcast@gmail.com. We have an Instagram where we will put up a picture of these prints. And where is that, dude?
That's at Witch Bitch Amateur Hour.
We have a Twitter where we sometimes tweet at Bitch Hour.
Eight.
Come eat with us.
Eight.
I know. I really lost the plot on that one about halfway through. Come eat with us over on Facebook at
Witch Bitch Amateur Hour.
Witch Amateur Hour.
Sure.
And then, of course, you can also get all of this information from our show notes and our website and all that kind of junk. But if you'd like to join us on our journey of writing spells every month, writing blogs or shooting vlogs every month, bonus episodes, all kinds of good, wholesome shit over on our Patreon. Patreon.com/WBAH podcast.
Yeah. And we're going to get this done here soon, but we have like, we're going to drop something that's going to blow y'all's mind. We're going to put it out, but we had a select handful of listeners, and y'all know who you are, that did the biggest, craziest thing. And we've almost just had to process it. Yeah. So we've not even talked about it.
I know. There's been no words, but we're going to drop something soon. And it's something that a handful of you guys, you gifted us with the ultimate gift.
The ultimate blessing.
And you've ruined us. The ultimate blessing that we could receive. I had a moment the other day, and it was probably a week after it happened, after we saw what the Wabeens had gifted us with. I just couldn't process it for that long. And a week later, I was brushing my teeth. It was like 2 a.m. I was going to bed. And I just stopped. And I just went, holy shit. I know. That happened.
Yeah.
And it's like it all just hit me in that moment. And it took a week to get there. So anyway.
Yeah. So we're going to be putting something out. It'll probably be a video. And just so y'all can see how we reacted to this incredible surprise. And to those of y'all, we're going to be individually thanking y'all, but like, thank y'all for what y'all did, because that seriously was a surprise of a lifetime.
There is no words, truly. And there are really no words. And I think you can see it on our faces in our reaction videos. So all that. And I guess we'll also one day tell the story of how you told me what was happening.
But
for now, I guess that's the Witch Bitch Amateur Hour. And check out the prints, check out that territorial deck, and check out some of that garlic up your butt.
For 9 days.
9 whole days. And you better hope to God that shit gets absorbed.
Better dissolve.
What if like a modern day version of that is to just put like one of the garlic oil pills up there? I feel like that would work better. It would burn a lot.
Yeah, I'm worried about,
but it'd probably
the
absorb.
Burning.
I'm worried about the burning. Macy 2021.
Not even about witches burning at all. No.
Witch Bitch Amateur Hour. Yeah. That's a really like incognito shirt. It's like, witch bitch amateur hour. I'm worried about burning. The burning. And it sounds all deep.
It's really about butthole garlic.
But it's...
Oh, no.
Oh, man. That's our whole podcast wrapped up.
Butthole garlic. Witch bitch amateur hour. Butthole garlic.
Yeah. You think it's deep, but it's just butthole garlic.
Oh my god.
Gives it a nice toasted effect.
Oh,
real joy for the
fucking Gordon Ramsay of ganja.
The olfactory system.
Oh my god, gross! Why is that gross?
Ew,
nasty. Ew.